Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
Are you prone to developing kidney stones? Nearly 20% of men and 10% of women are, and they have no idea how they got them. If you've experienced the pain of kidney stones, your risk of recurrence is high. Having kidney stones is the result of diet, such as using the wrong salt, eating too much animal foods, or taking synthetic vitamins. If you're tired of suffering from kidney stones or want to reduce the likelihood of getting them, call Apothecary Herbs for their whole food organic kidney stone herbal liquid formula. Gently cleanse and purify your kidney filters to reduce the particle buildup that creates stones. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the kidney stone formula, 866-229-3663, or visit thepowerherbs.com. Apothecary Herbs, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com, where your healthcare options just became endless. As we age, there can be many reasons why we feel tired, have memory issues, gain weight, struggle with stress, or feel depressed. These symptoms can be indicators that the adrenal glands that sit on top of your kidneys need metabolic strengthening. There are herbs known to improve adrenal gland function, circulation, blood pressure, skin, muscle, and bone strength. Why suffer with weakness when you can use gland-strengthening medicinal herbs? Empower yourself with the organic balance chemistry in the adrenal gland formula. You will remove the risk of megadoses and offer specific nutrition the body needs. Call Apothecary Herbs now for their adrenal gland formula, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. That's Apothecary Herbs, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. Because if you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs.
Two million Americans manage sleep apnea instead of resolving it. Sleep apnea increases risk of heart disease, depression, and death. New research from Rutgers University states the thyroid manufactures hormones used as neurotransmitters to regulate breathing during sleep. This suggests the thyroid gland needs balancing to address sleep apnea. So forget the CPAP machine. Call Apothecary Herbs for their sleep apnea herb formulas to remove cellular stress and feed the thyroid the nutrition it needs for better sleep. Call now to order, 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663, or online at thepowerherbs.com. Thepowerherbs.com. Money back guarantee with our organic professional strength formulas, because if you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs.
1, 2, 3. I was feeling so bad. I asked my family doctor just what I had. I said, doctor, doctor, Mr. MD, doctor, now can you tell me? What's ailing me? Doctor, he said, yeah, yeah.
Oh, sorry, Frank, I had my button pushed in. My fault. Okay, wet noodle for Wendy. Welcome to Herb Talk Live. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson, and here on Herb Talk, right here, we're going to empower you. That's what we like to do. And thanks for joining us on the American Voice Radio Network. Magical engineer Frank and I, he's looking at me. Have a great show, and we're going to be talking about error margins. In medical tests. And how trustworthy are they? We're going to talk about that. And we're also going to talk about how we can relieve a lot of tension. People are all tight and tense. So we're going to talk about that. And we do have a brief quack report and word on brief there. But before we get to all that great stuff, big salute and semper fi to our righteous men and women in uniform. I'm lifting this nation up in prayer. I'm hitting the knees and I'm seeking the Lord's face. Hope you are too. Mind the time to grow short. And today's devotional puts us in Psalms 116. It says, I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplications, right? So if you want the Lord to hear you, you got to have a relationship with him. Seek his face every day, because that's what you do when you have a best friend. You talk every day or almost every day. He's kind of wanting you to do the same thing. Talk with him every day. Seek the Lord's face. Mind the time to grow short, because that is the way. Get that Bible out and start reading it. You will calm down. A lot of healing power in the Word of God. All right, without further ado, let's do the quack report. Thanks, Frank. Sorry, Frank, I had my button pushed in. I am terrible about that. I know, he's gonna break me, that habit. All right, first up in the quack report, scientists create virus that has potential, get this, to fight cancer. So they want to infect you with a virus in order to get rid of your cancer. So this is out of Japan. Researchers at Hokkaido University, they genetically engineered this adenovirus, which is kind of from the family of viruses that give you just mild symptoms that you're sick. But what it does is it can replicate inside the cancer cells to kill it, according to the research on it. This is in the Journal of Cancer, this report. So according to molecule oncologists, they are studying these. They took two human genes to stabilize their element, the type of molecule present in your cells. And then they took these two viral strains and engineered it to hopefully attack cancer cells. They're called ARES. They stabilize the adenovirus so it can replicate only, get this, only in the cancer cell, not in your healthy cells. So it's a cell-specific virus, apparently. So they inject this virus into the tumors, which they say shrinks the tumors, according to their research. So this is an engineered virus, they say, that could potentially treat diseases related to a lot of inflammations, infections, hypoxia, ultraviolet radiation, and on it goes. I don't know, Frank, do you think, you know, you would let them inject you with a couple of these viruses that are supposed to be cell specific? I mean, this is theory, and they're testing it, obviously, in lab animals. But, you know, so that's an exact no. Frank says no. He's not ever, not with a 10-foot pole, right? I know. I don't think I could be part of an experiment like that. Seriously. I guess you'd have to be like, you know, you got nothing left to lose and you're dying from a cancer. Under no circumstances, Frank says. Okay. Very, very well aptly put. Okay. I believe you, Frank. I'm kind of on the same sheet of music. I don't have any problem leaving this world. I'm going to a better place when I go. So I think I'd like to go without the engineered viruses. Thanks. And that wraps the quack report. Thank you, Frank. I'm watching the button pushing thing here. I'm trying to be conscious of it. All right. We're going to be talking about error margins. You know, okay, how many tests? We were watching the press ops from the White House. How many, do you know how many kits that they made for this virus? You know, they got the ones from China, which they say were flawed, and then they made a couple of them here in the United States. I think more than three, right? Three different types. Plus they got the little cotton swab thing going on. Let's talk about the error margins of tests, because humans are imperfect, and it is scientifically proven that medical tests will have an error margin built into them. Now, medical professionals do not like to talk about the error rate of these types of tests. However, in general, most medical tests will have a 20% error margin. Yeah, Frank says the tests that they were making for the coronavirus were flawed, gave people the virus, came from the CDC. I was, you know, speculating on that. I mean, you know, they want to take a swab, you know, and stick it up your nose or in your throat. You have to wonder, you know, is that swab already pre-coated with the virus? You know, so everybody tests positive. You just wonder about that. Then, of course, they give you the virus when they do that, if that's the case. But, you know, regardless of that, error margin 20% in most tests. So errors that are ignored or covered up in medical studies actually will compound the error margin. And sadly, all the medical professionals would be using tests and unaware the test is flawed. So we're going to take a closer look at the importance of accurate tests if they truly exist. Here is a quote. This is a report. This U.S. National Library of Medicine Institute of Health, it was a report they put in called To Err is Human, April 1999. They say clinicians do not like dealing with errors despite the importance of recognizing and minimizing errors in clinical practice. It is clear even the worst medical error might be preventable. Well, then there was this 2010 study in April, in which the U.S. National Library of Medicine Institute of Health was involved and reported on. And it was on findings regarding medical errors. So they state that as many as 98,000 people die each year and needlessly due to preventable medical errors. Now, they say, quote, the equivalent of a national disaster every week of every year, end of quote. Medicine brings forth a national disaster equivalent of for every week and every year, they say. I thought that was an interesting statement. Now, over a decade later, nothing's really changed. The Consumers Union released a report also stating that within the 10 years when nothing changed, a million lives were lost and billions of dollars were wasted. And that was in the 2010 reports. Then in May 2016, it was estimated that over 251,000 deaths occur a year. So, you know, like, hello, it's getting up there. Here is a quote from Scientific American, May 2016. They say, in 2014, a study estimated that diagnostic errors happen about 12 million times per year in the United States for outpatients alone. This equals 1 in 20 adults. Institute of Medicine says this, diagnostic error in medicine are more common than you may think. These results routinely guide therapeutic decisions. And they go on to say, it is a misconception that diagnostic laboratory tests are always correct and useful, although the primary tenet is no test performs perfectly, end of quote. Keep that in mind, folks. When you have a test done and it's dire reporting, don't lose hope. So we have to look at this standardized medicine, right? Is that what we're looking at, right? Is that what we're looking at? How can this be standardized? You know, how can it be standardized for real? Well, is medicine as standardized as we're led to believe? I would have to say no, definitely not. So medical science is really not controlled like we think it is because of research errors and cover-ups. So corruption keeps medicine from being that which is it is promoted to be. Okay. Of course, you know, how many of us have grown up with, you know, all these doctor TV shows that, you know, kind of convince us and train us to believe medicine knows all. So the errors in medical research are largely underestimated, and they admit to this. One medical researcher said he thought that more than half of the medical studies were fraudulent. He thought more than half. So according to the U.S. National Library of Medicine Institute of Health, they did a report. The two areas of medical research that impact patients the most is in a negative way. Okay, they impact patients in a negative way are laboratory medicine and radiology. Well, these are two areas really play a major role in diagnostics, and that's why. So the wrong diagnosis and treatment plan often kill the patients. So we're going to count the ways. How wrong can a diagnosis be? Well, there are several. Let's count the ways. One, a misdiagnosis. In other words, they didn't identify the disease. They were totally wrong, way off. Two, the wrong diagnosis identified the wrong disease. Okay. And three, delayed diagnosis. They were put on the wrong path due to flawed tests. In other words, they were, you know, sent on a wild goose chase, if you will. So it kind of sounds like a whole lot can go wrong right from the start, and patients are paying a whole lot of money that is really not refundable. You can't get a refund. You know, they got it all wrong. They even maybe harmed you in the process. Well, with medical cover-ups, it's really difficult to truly determine definitively the diagnosis error margins. So the estimates of one study suggested 3 to 5% errors regarding the radiological interpretations by radiologists. They read it and they get it wrong. And also laboratory errors, they estimate to be 1 in every 300 to 1,000 events. So with the lab errors, can a figure, one patient for every 900 lab results is incorrect. For one patient, you know, every 900 results, bam, it's going to be wrong. However, these are most likely underestimated numbers as well. So there is a lot that goes unreported in the clinical settings. So, you know, the lab reports and the study reports are inaccurate, and this translates into a wrong diagnosis and wrong treatment plans. And of course, you know, a lot of it has to do too with policy, like at a hospital, hospital policy. Because why do you suppose the errors are underreported? Well, often it stems from clinical policy, and hospital policy is supposed to be set up to determine how often mistakes occur. And there is also supposed to be policy to improve on mistakes that often do occur. So there should be, you know, if they see a pattern, they're supposed to, you know, set up in place a way to deal with those, and so they can cut back on that happening. Now, hospital, when they do hospital assessments, you know, how well is the hospital functioning? Usually, these reports produce statements like staff disregard many of the policies and procedures already in place. So that's a problem. And one common trend within medicine is if the mistake did not cause significant harm, then it's really not even looked into, so they can prevent repeat events like that. So all these things point to a poor standardization within medicine. Okay. So lab errors are so common, and samples, they can be placed in wrong containers, and they can mix up patients. Here's a few quotes from the Institute of Medicine. They say this: using the right test is critical to obtaining desired information. Inappropriate utilization of lab tests is a significant problem. One test can often be performed multiple ways and not always equal, such as in the case of testing for Zika virus. They go on to say, mistakes made prior to samples being tested account for about 70% of the lab-related errors. What do they mean by that? Well, here's a quote from Shannon Heyman. She's a lab director at Lurie Children's Hospital in Chicago. She said, I have received lab samples in a Gatorade bottle. So, of course, you know, they took whatever sample they needed, but they didn't stick it in a sterile container. So it got compromised. See, so, I mean, you know, I mean, if I can understand, you know, if you were in a war zone, out in a rural area, maybe in a third world country, you didn't have a container. But hey, if you're in a hospital and you're going to take a sample from a patient floor and walk it to the laboratory, put it in something sterile, not a Gatorade container. Well, let's look at some definitions. Patients really should ask some specific questions about tests. They should have some understanding about the test and ask what the results mean. Often tests will give a range of normal limits in which the results fall to determine severity. So is the test vetted and has it been in use or is it an experimental one? Always do your homework on the tests. So with this in mind, new tests, especially tests that were rushed to market, will most often produce higher error margins. Research and tests online. You can research the tests. You go on the websites and look at them. And you can learn what the results often mean. Ask your physician, what is the error margin for this particular test and how often has he or she found the test to be inaccurate? And when in doubt, get a second opinion. Get a second run on the test. And you may even want to compare those results with a different test. And statistically, though, tests cannot be 100% accurate all the time. So ask those in questions. A lot of times you only get the answers you want when you ask the specific questions. I have found more often than not, when in talking with medical professionals, they don't volunteer a whole lot of information. It's always, you know, in the questions you ask. It's like talking to the government sometimes. So, you know, find out as much as you can about that test before you have it done. And what's the error margin? See, it's the rule of thumb, 20% now. Keep that in your head. Well, and so this is basically an investigation, because when doctors run tests, what they're doing is a process of elimination in many cases. They're ruling out what you don't have. So I often find that getting a diagnosis is kind of the beginning of the investigation into what may be wrong and what the cause could be. So it can actually help point you in a direction that may reveal what is really wrong and how you might reverse the condition. Diagnostic tools and lab tests are just that, tools, and we hope that they are used appropriately. However, humans make mistakes, and in some instances, the creation of the diagnostic test could be flawed and it produces the wrong results. So rule of thumb is all medical tests will have at least a 20% error margin in them. That's built into them, okay? So really, if you get one of these tests and you get some scary results, it's just the beginning of your health quest. So I look at a diagnosis as the beginning. Yeah, Frank says, if you can live through the hospital visit, you can live through anything. Absolutely. So I look at a diagnosis as the beginning, not the end. So challenges in our health can be concerning and even scary, but there is hope in the knowledge that the human body can regenerate and heal itself if it has the right nutritional tools and it's not undermined. Healing therapies should strengthen the body, not tear it down. Healing therapies should work with the body's systems and not against them. So if you would like to learn more about how you can strengthen metabolically your system, how you can cleanse away toxins that are stumbling blocks for healing, and how you can improve your immune system function, well, you want to call the folks at Apothecary Herbs. They specialize in that for 20 years, actually. Give them a call. Their number is 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. You can visit their website, too, thepowerherbs.com, thepowerherbs.com. because that's where your healthcare options just became endless, because it's tools to help you strengthen the system so the system can heal itself. A lot of times that's all it is, especially with a lot of internal medicine disorders. It's a lack of minerals. It's a lack of vitamins, amino acids, and things. And once you super infuse the body with nutrition and get rid of the toxic overload, you can see the body just take off and heal itself. It is an amazing thing to see. It will surprise you. And you'll feel empowered, actually. So give them a call, and they're in the middle of their Memorial Day sale, which runs through the end of the month, so it ends on the 31st of May. So you're going to save 25% on orders of $30 or more. Details are on the homepage, and so is the coupon code to use when you check out. But if you don't have internet, no worries. You can just say STARS20, just like stars and stripes on your flag, but just STARS20. And that will get you the discount. You can order a phone. You can order on your mail-in order. They're included in the catalogs. Definitely get a catalog. You'll see what tools that you'll have at your disposal and make you so powerful out there. And it's a game changer. When you have tools that, you know, help you heal successfully and safely, it is a game changer for sure. It's amazing. And it's not going to break the bank, you know. You know, it's not like a $100,000 medical bill. Yeah, we talked about snake bites the other night. You know, Frank, I got some calls on that. People were like, yes, there's a solution to that. Oh, yeah, for pets, for humans, definitely a solution. Now, of course, if you want to err on the side of caution, go to the hospital. But if you don't know what snake bit you, they're not going to have anti-venom for you. So you better know what kind of snake bit you. And then get ready for the six-figure medical bill. That's what it's going to be. So in the meantime, there's a snake bite kit that'll help reverse the venom. Give us a call at 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. Because if you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs. Now, if you're on the website, do what a lot of people do. They go ahead and sign up for the online newsletters, which are absolutely free. So there's the American Survival newsletter that goes out on Tuesday. It's by email now. And then the Health Quest goes out on Friday. So if you want to get a Health Quest, sign up for tomorrow's newsletter. It'll go out and you'll get wellness information in your email that's absolutely free that will rock your world, absolutely empower you. And you can share it with friends and family because that's the duty we have. We find something, it's empowering and helpful and safe and natural. We should share that with other people. We should tell them about it. And, you know, because that's the love of Christ within us to do that. And by the way, from Genesis to Revelation, God tells us many, many times, herbs are here for the service of man and the healing of the nations. And God can't lie. There you go. So he gets the credit all the time, every day, for the successes people are encountering all the time using wonderful medicinal herbs to get well. And, well, we're going to take a little break here, but you know what? On the other side of this break, we're going to be talking about dealing with tension. I don't know about you, Frank, but I think people are, they've been in, you know, shelter in place and they've been wearing masks that are uncomfortable. They're just kind of really edgy and tense. So we're going to talk about how we can break that tension and be better out there. We'll be right back with more.
Pumping life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
As men get older, they are subject to hormone imbalance. And when this happens, men can experience osteoporosis, memory loss, irritability, blood sugar imbalance, weight gain, enlarged prostate, erectile dysfunction, and risk of stroke. The human endocrine system manufactures hormones. Why not feed your system plant nutrition to make the hormones that are right for you? For centuries, these herbs have been used to balance the male hormone system. Men, you've waited long enough. For the male hormone formula, call Apothecary Herbs toll-free 866-229-3663 for the male hormone formula. 866-229-3663 or online at thepowerherbs.com. 866-229-3663, where your healthcare options just became endless.
007, your assignment is to find out what herb secrets herbalist Wendy Wilson has on Herb Talk Live.
If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll-free 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com.
Go green. Herb Talk Live, green. Now with herbalist Wendy Wilson.
Is your PSA count high? Half of all men over 50 have an enlarged prostate. You can shrink your prostate without harmful drugs or risky surgery. The secret to healing the prostate is to cleanse the prostate and the liver. Call Apothecary Herbs to ask about the Prostate Kit for a comprehensive way to heal and soothe your prostate. Educate yourself on how easy it can be to disinfect, cleanse, and restore your prostate gland. Call Apothecary Herbs for the Prostate Kit and successfully reduce swelling, inflammation, dissolve stones, and cleanse the blood to obtain the results you need. Money-back guarantee with every purchase. Call the experts in organ cleansing. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the Prostate Kit and empower yourself. Toll-free 866-229-3663 for international callers 704-875-8010. That's toll-free 866-229-3663 or visit the web at thepowerherbs.com.
L is for the way you look at me. O is for the only one I see. V is very, very extraordinary. E is even more than anyone that you adore can love. Is all that I can give to you. Love is more than just a game for two. Two in love can make it. Take my heart and please don't break it. Love was made for me and you.
According to Kansas. triggers about 50 to 200 times per day. And they often all are not all red alerts, but we still, you know, react on a biological level to them. So we're going to take a look at stress and tension and these levels, and maybe we can diffuse a few of them. All right. So, let's say you got low level tension triggers you should be aware of. Kansas City University, did tests on low level tension triggers that we tend to encounter on a daily basis, you know, like waiting in long lines at the store, sitting in traffic, being put on hold, you know, dealing with those awful phone trees, you know, when you're trying to get somebody on the line. Maybe they're out of stock of something you really, really need at the store, like toilet paper. And you can't find a parking space and you're really late for an appointment. All these things are those low level tension triggers. And these kind of can build up, you know, and accumulate in us. So these stressors, you know, we realize they're not the hills we want to die on, but they still can build us up to a big deal. And we're told that when our muscles tense up, it normally takes an average of 20 minutes for them to completely relax. However, the problem comes in on a metabolic level when there is really not enough time in between these tension stressors to give us that break so we can relax. So tension can build up and we need to develop a coping mechanism to help us, you know, deal with the hassles of everyday life without them becoming major health threats. All right. Let's look at some tension tighteners. Life can make us tense, and sometimes stress and tension is self-generating. We overload ourselves with work and some obligations. We just got to get used to saying no to some people. And sometimes it's our personality also that can clash with things out in the world, people out in the world, causes a lot of tension. For instance, if you tend to have an attitude of my way or the highway, then it can cause friction with other people. People may, you know, talk negatively about you, and that causes more stress. Other factors that cause us to become tense and stressed is, you know, hectic schedules with work or school, our finances, unexpected life changes, relationship problems, and also family demands. Well, let's look at some risk. If we get too much tension, it increases our risk of heart disease, digestive problems, insomnia, weight gain, immune system problems, inflammatory skin conditions, and even deep, deep depression. So how do you know? How do you know that you may be in trouble and you're carrying around too much tension that puts you at risk? Well, some emotional symptoms may be popping up that can give you a clue. If you're a bit more moody than usual, you're more irritable, your temper flares, you have the inability to relax, right? I know sometimes, Frank, when I go away on vacation, which isn't often, which is my problem probably, workaholic that I am, it takes me a day to get into vacation mode. It takes me time, you know, just to get into the mode of I'm not working today. I need to just chill. And then when I get back at work, it takes me a whole day to get back into I'm at work now. And I have to start thinking about working, not on the beach anymore. Also, some other signals may be you feel more lonely than usual, or you feel more overwhelmed than usual. Maybe you have a general unhappiness, or maybe sign of a depression there, or memory and concentration problems. You know, that can be a sign that you're really overstressed. Maybe your judgment becomes off. Your poor judgment starts to surface, and you begin to be like more pessimistic about everything in the world. And you maybe worry more than you should, and you're anxious than you used to be. These can all be little signs of tension buildup and stress. So other physical symptoms of tension and stress, you may have more aches and pains than you remember having. Your digestive problems may flare up. You may more have constipation, diarrhea stuff going on, nausea, dizziness. Maybe you got more of a heartbeat going on. Chest pains and rapid fluttering of the heart could be. And people sometimes think they're having a heart attack, but it's really anxiety and stress. Loss of sex drive is in the mix, as well as you pick up frequent colds. Your immune system's lower. You have a change in your appetite, change in your sleep pattern, You tend to be more isolating lately. You don't want to engage in a lot of social activities. Maybe you are also procrastinating. Maybe you might hit the alcohol a little bit more than you should or smoke more than you should. And, you may be picking up more nervous habits like nail biting, pacing, and you may even experience more headaches. So these are all like symptoms of stress building up and time to take a step back and reduce the stress and anxiety and maybe just, you know, take a few days off and just, you know, have some me time. There is a cardiac reactor. Some people who refer to them as cardiac reactors. They react to stress with cardiac symptoms. Their high blood pressure kicks in. They experience maybe 100 times a day a lot of pressure around their heart. They feel like they can't breathe. They feel like they may be having a heart attack. Other people may show digestive symptoms more, and their body will dump more acid into the stomach, and these folks are the ones that will develop ulcers. Others may experience suppressed immune system function, and they be sick a lot. They catch a cold every time it comes around. And then some people have that headache element. A lot of tension and stress can cause a lot of headaches. If the headaches manifest in a more of a migraine or vascular manner, it often occurs typically on a weekend after the stress has passed. So you had a real stressful day at work, a real stressful week at work. Then here comes the headache on the weekend. But let's get to this muscle tension, because then people sometimes when they're stressed and tense, they may get a lot of what we call Charlie horses or muscle spasms, very painful in some instances. So if you're tense enough, you could experience a lot of anxiety, muscle tension, and this can produce pain severe enough that doctors are prescribing you medicine. People with anxiety, muscle tension experience a lot of muscle spasms, twitching, what feels like a clamping up of the muscle, and it causes a lot of pain. So in extreme cases, people have become bedridden with the cramps and the pain. So patients with this problem often state that the pain remains even when trying to relax and go to sleep. So after they get to sleep, the pain resumes when they wake up even. So this condition can attack any muscle of the body, including face muscles, mouth muscles, head muscles, stomach, groin. This can cause tight, sore, painful muscles that drain a person's energy. So this kind of tension can consistently attack certain areas or even move to other areas of the body. So this is a muscular attack, usually follows an event of very strong anxiety and or a nervous episode where a person may have been fearful or had elevated stress. And an imbalance of hormones can also be in the mix here. Headaches often will be a complication of anxiety muscle tension. So you want to be sensitive also to these clues. The body's speaking to us. And often when we are stressed and tense, we don't realize that we can manifest even certain physical behaviors like clenching our teeth or clenching our fists, dragging our feet, or rubbing our hands together. It's more of a comfort mechanism when people do that. It's usually a sign of high anxiety. So if we are conscious of this, we can actually shift our focus into something else, diminish the tension, diminish the stress, and this helps to dissolve the surface tension and releases more of the energy to your body. And if you realize that you are showing signs like this, the signs of tension, and you may try deep breathing, relaxing the shoulders, that can help. There's a DVD called Classical Stretch, which is very gentle. And a lot of times that's very helpful. If instead of eating on your lunch break, you can pop that DVD in. It's a 20-minute exercise and you can release a lot of tension. Often people who do stretching exercises take their mind off of their stress triggers and they can just function so much better. So there are lots of ways that we can calm down. And we can find ways to derail the tension, the depression, the anxiety without using medications or drinking too much alcohol or smoking too many cigarettes. Studies have suggested that working at looking at other people's faces and having a conversation can calm the brain down through its sensory receptors. Now, with that said, Frank, just imagine people have been isolated and working from home. They don't have their coworkers around them. Things have slowed down. Things are less efficient. Stuff falls through the cracks. And so the sensory sensory receptors have changed for a lot of people over the last several months. So if you focus though on a person's face and what they are saying, you stop worrying about other things when you're doing that. So, you know, if you stay socially engaged, that's another way of dealing with a lot of overwhelming tension. And, you know, even if you're a little bit depressed or anxious, you know, being socially engaged is helpful. So the second suggestion is you want to keep moving and be mobile as possible. So don't neglect your regular exercise. For example, exercise will help the neurotransmitters in your brain and offer you more energy to the body. It will also perk you up and help your immune system function better, keep your blood pressure lower. And also, you want to guard against the urge to be immobile and crawl into bed or onto the sofa and stay there. You want to kind of guard against that. This is going to add to a body trauma, tension, depression, anxiety if you just, you know, hibernate like that. So your mind will tend to focus on feeling stuck if you do that. And this can bring on other emotions, and you don't want to go there. So emotions can actually make you more tense and give you more physical symptoms and bring on those aches and pains that you really don't want to experience. So we really need a proactive approach. Aside from being more social and getting regular exercise, your diet's going to be important too, as the foods can also trigger emotions and set off stress points. So a lot of research is suggesting that your processed foods contribute to hormone imbalance that affect your mood. So the highly refined foods and the sugary snacks make tension, stress, and anxiety conditions worse. So on the other hand, if you have foods with a lot of omega-3 rich fatty acids, like salmon, olive oil, coconut oils, along with your fruits and vegetables, it helps calm that condition. And it's also very beneficial to think positive when you go out there and learn a new joke and you know, instead of watching, you know, the news, watch a funny movie. So as your condition improves, it's going to be easier for you to get more sleep and help you stay on track and keep that nervous tension in check. Then there's some herbs that can help us out as well. If you don't want to consider using any prescription meds for symptoms of tension and stress and anxiety and headaches and depression, there are some alternatives. Herbs tend to be packed full of nutrition that help provide the nervous system more stability. So the herbs that can also help offer a calming effect without sedating you that will take tension and stress out of nerves will also enable you to better cope through your day and diffuse your stress triggers. I like to use herbs that relax tense muscles and avoid a lot of spasms, pain. And one of my favorite herbs is lobelia. It's an antispasmodic. Works so fast. It's amazing. So if you're laying in bed and you get a Charlie horse and it's so painful and you can't even get up and walk, have some of that by your bedside. And just take it. In a liquid form, it works the best. And you would just take a quarter teaspoon of it. And within 10 seconds, that muscle melts the tension right out of it. So, if you're looking for that particular herb, you can find it. It's, on the powerherbs.com website. It's, under the herbal tinctures area, and it's a product called Relaxation Formula. Okay. You can also use their calcium formula. It does have some lobelia in it, and it's also great for the muscles because your muscles also need natural plant-based calcium. So one of the herbs I also like to take tension out of the nervous system, we just talked about the muscular system, is the valerian root, and it will not sedate you. It just takes tension out of the nervous system, and a lot of people ask me, well, does it make you not care? No, it doesn't do that. It's not like psychosomatic drugs that elevate your serotonin so high that you just don't care. It's not like that. It just takes tension out of the nervous system. It's almost like your nervous system has a big sigh, you know, So, and you can use your lobelia herb with your valerian because they work on two different systems. So I encourage you to check out the relaxation formula and the calcium formula and also the valerian root. The folks at Apothecary Herbs have them in liquids that work really quickly. And also to help you deal with stress is making sure your nervous system has natural B vitamins. Nervous system runs on B. So check out their Body Foundation food mix. It has a natural source of Bs in there. They're not synthetic. And you'll be amazed at how you feel when you get some supercharged nutrition going into the system. Body responds quick. You want to call the folks at Apothecary Herbs, get their catalog. All those items are in their catalog. They're also on their website, thepowerherbs.com. The number to call is 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. And get their catalog. If you don't have the internet, that's fine. Just, you know, get their catalog. And be empowered, because that's what happens when you get the right tools and instructions on how to use them. You are empowered. So, well, we got a few minutes, so I wanted to talk real quickly about we were talking about medical tests in the first part of the show and the error margin in the medical tests. There are some medical devices that people need to be aware of that may not be so safe. Actually, there is a medical device death list. The FDA created this medical industry system to accept reports on medical devices, which may increase risk of injury and death. And the reporting system is supposed to highlight dangerous devices and make this information available to your health professionals and even to the public. But actually, those lists aren't always so available. One reason the program got shuttered is because there was this investigative report which exposed this hidden area of the system that hides the vital medical information from doctors and the public. And all that data was submitted and was supposed to be available, but was limited. So when the FDA was asked about these kinds of records being limited and restricted, they replied that under the open records law, which information can take 2 years for you to get. In other words, you got to, you know, mail in a request kind of thing. So here's a quote from the FDA. They say the FDA carved out the exemption in 2010 and it covered six devices. Doctors report extensive data on patients for certain medical devices that are closely monitored in registries. So it appears that certain devices got a pass and were not included on the list that should have been on the list. So something went wrong with the gatekeeping mechanism there. And I would have to say, when something like that happens, I say follow the money. That's what I say. Now, on the list were heart devices, and cardiologists were like upset because a lot of times they would go to these lists that the FDA made available and they often wouldn't see the device on the list. So they thought the device was safe, only to find out otherwise later. The cardiovascular devices on the list that cause high risk of death have been reported to have killed about 8,000 patients. And what we are seeing is that when the medical device is linked to patient deaths, although it may be reported to the system by physicians, the device injury report tends to be hidden within the reporting agency itself. So layers of the onion, think that. In a lot of instances, the device report on, let's say, heart valves that were implanted through threaded catheters caused injury or death were actually totally hidden. So you got kind of like a medical firewall going on here. And one doctor, this is president of the National Center for Health Research. It's Diane Zuckerman. She says, this is crazy. There is not a particular reason that I can think of why you would put summary reports behind some kind of firewall where no one can see it. And the FDA is saying the FDA just got additional funding from Congress and plans to use it To make more information readily available for easier access, the current public device database called MOD is outdated and it has limited functions. So that's what they're saying. That's the reason you can't see stuff. Well, that's not the reason you can't see stuff, though. So these monitoring reports on these devices that health professionals are using on public patients, you know, needs to be out there. A lot of health professionals, even politicians, haven't known that the FDA has collected 5.7 million reports through its alternative summary report program on devices that harm or malfunction, and doctors, researchers, and device safety experts have no access to this data. So they didn't know a lot of that existed, actually. Yeah, information not available. Right now, there's like 108 devices the FDA has exempted from the reporting lists, and that was in December 2019, but they're no longer accepting any litigation summary reports. So what examples of the devices that were on the list were things like pelvic mesh implant, surgical robots, heart valves, thoracic stents or grafts, Medtronic catheters, cardiac Watchman devices, surgical staplers, balloon pumps, mechanical breathing machines, pacemaker electrodes, and implantable defibrillators. So there are heart valves made by different companies, but the valve that has caused the most harm is made by CoreValve, causing 5,800 deaths since 2014. The valve device is used for patients who they're not good candidates for open heart surgery, so that's their option they're given. So the physicians have mentioned report problems and patient deaths to the system, but they are not legally required to do that. So if the companies that make the device, well, they're not required to report patient deaths to the FDA, especially if they say, we don't have enough information. So that's what they hide behind. That's part of the problem. Not enough information is getting anywhere. So the companies can actually cite the reports are unclear about the cause of death, is the cause of death due to the device, and blah, blah, blah. So, you know, it's just, you know, a game they play. One doctor, Dr. Stephen Neeson, chief academic officer at Cleveland Clinic, said, to understand safety of device, we need to have access to all the data. The data sent to the FDA should be open. Well, I agree there, Doc. Little bit of a cover-up going on there. You got to ask why. Why? Well, why would the FDA hide stuff? Well, I mean, they're not manufacturing the devices. They're not benefiting from the sale and the use of the devices. Why would the FDA hide stuff? Well, I would say, my opinion is, somebody's paying them to hide this stuff. Dr. Douglas Kwaneski says, I don't want to sound overdramatic, but it seems like a cover-up to me. The FDA has built a vast and expanded hidden repository of reports on device-related injuries and malfunctions. Well, call it like it is, Doc. That's what I say. So do your homework out there. If you want information like this each and every week in your email to empower you and protect you, sign up for the newsletters at thepowerherbs.com. Just click on Books and Newsletters and put your email in there and sign up for free. Oh, man, I'm out of time, but don't forget, Apothecary Herbs is having their Memorial Day sale. You'll save 25% on orders of $30 or more now through the 31st of May. The information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease, so seek medical advice if you dare from a licensed medical physician before using any product or therapy. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Till next time, be well.